Please do not lie.
To infinity and beyond!
Oh, come on, Spider-Man!
That's all it is, Miles. A leap of faith.
Surprise, Sydney.
Wakanda forever!
And welcome back to the Cinemania World Podcast, everyone. My name is Dwayne, and today we have episode 109 of the Cinemania World Show. As always, I am joined by some guests from the Cinemania World team. First, we have my day one, Alex Madden. Woo! From YouTube. What's up, buddy?
What up, Cinemaniacs? Welcome back to the Cinemania World Podcast.
I'm going to need you not to do that again, all right? That hurt.
Hey, I make it longer and longer every time I come on.
That hurt my ear a little bit. All right. We are also joined from the Cinemania World team in Geekly Goods. We have Leo. Hello, my friend.
What's going on, guys? Man, Alex, you always crack me up with that. But what's going on, y'all?
He's
happy
been
to
doing
be on.
That for like 5 years. I'm not even joking.
Dude, it's hilarious. Every time I hear it, it gets better and better. But this, guys, I'm excited. I can't wait to talk some... A little bit of Ms. Marvel, some Emmys, you know, our five favorite movies of the year. I'm really excited, and it's weird to think that the year is halfway over already.
I know.
Yeah, it feels like we just started the year, right? Really. So, yeah. Lastly, we are joined from the Cinemania World team and mainly movies. We have Alyssa. Hello.
Hey, I'm not going to do any annoying sound with my voice. I mean, I'm sure people find that annoying, but excited to talk some movies and sit here while you guys talk about TV shows, since I am very ignorant of those. I never watch them.
I still got to catch up on everything, so I'm right there with you.
Yeah, so Leo and I are going to speed through some of the TV stuff before we get into our favorite movies of the year so far. That's the main point of this show. Main topic of this show is our main movies of the year. But first, we're going to get into some of the Emmys nominations that happened a couple of days ago. And then Leo and I will quickly discuss the Ms. Marvel finale. And that'll be the show. So on this show right now, besides one of us, which is Alex, sadly, we have me, Leo, and Alyssa, who was our Comic-Con, our official, actually, Comic-Con team, besides Kayla. But this is our team. We are going, in a week from today, we are going to be in San Diego Comic-Con. You know, I messaged Alyssa earlier. I was like, oh, you excited? How you doing? And she's like, I don't know, brother. She's like, I'm more stressed, dude. And I'm like, okay.
It's stressful, like, planning the trip, but then once you're there, it's like...
Yeah, Alex knows. Yeah, like, once you're there, it's a lot of fun. The more crazy day is the first day when you gotta go get your badges and shit like that and that stuff. But
yeah, I was gonna say, the first day is just gonna be a mess. Like, all the flights out and navigating the airports and navigating security and then getting to the Airbnb and then checking in and doing all the COVID check-in stuff. It's just gonna be a lot.
We'll make it through that, y'all. I'm so excited, to be honest. The craziest, this is my first one.
The craziest
Day, Alex.
The craziest day is when Dwayne ordered tickets off a gum website, Orbitz.
Did I save you like $300 or not? Like, I don't understand. Like, so we are going to be in Comic-Con next week. I already have everything planned out regarding like what's going to happen here on the podcast. We're going to record maybe like we'll see how many shows we'll record while we're down there. I know everyone else, because pretty much rooming with everyone, but like Alyssa and Leo, of course, are going to be doing a lot of content for their YouTube channels. And then we're going to do some stuff for the podcast here, do some reactions from Hall H. If we get into Hall H, hopefully that all goes well. But and then back it on the regular front of the podcast, I think Larry will probably be like the main host for the couple of days that we're gone to do some shows. And then we'll see what happens with the review for Nope. But if I don't have any time, then that'll probably be hosted by like Larry or somebody else. So.
I need some content on this Morbius screening. You guys gotta go to that.
I'm not going. I think it's
not
like
happening.
It's Morbius time. Come on.
Not happening. Bro.
I think the screening is like at 11 o'clock too. I'm like, I'm not doing this.
Why the fuck did they choose Morbius? Nope.
Wait, hold on. What day is it?
I have no idea.
I mean, if it's 11 o'clock, what else are we gonna be doing at that point?
I'm going to bed. What you?
No. Hold on.
11 o'clock at night.
Those people, Leo.
11 o'clock. And we had Leo.
You're like, oh, I want to get lit. Yeah.
I do want to get lit.
Party, man.
I
want to get lit. 11 o'clock. You're snoring already.
No. I sent y'all my schedule. I got Harley Quinn at 10 p.m.
Are you doing that shit?
I got Kill the Kill at midnight.
I'm glad they finally released the schedule.
Hold on. What you doing at midnight, Leo?
Kill a Kill, it's an anime.
I'm going to be in the crib.
Come on, you don't know Kill a Kill? No. Bruh, get on it. I'm not going to sleep, probably.
All night long, yo.
Probably not, man. No sleep.
So that'll be the plan for, that's the plan for next week so far. We're going to do a Comic-Con preview show. Me, Alyssa, Kayla, and Leo, I think sometime next week before we head out there to talk about what's probably going to be happening, what's going to be revealed, what we're going to be doing, what's on our schedule, and all that. So that is it for now regarding Comic-Con. That is coming up next week. Let's get into the show here. First, I'll speed through the Emmy nominations. I think on like Tuesday, they announced the nominations for this year's Emmy Awards. And the main big ones for Best Drama Series, we have Better Call Saul, Euphoria, I don't know why. Ozark, Severance, Squid Game, Stranger Things, Succession, and Yellow Jackets. Right now, for me personally, I'm rooting for Severance. That is a great show. But yeah, pretty solid list other than Euphoria. That season was horrid. But yeah, then comedy series, we have Abbott Elementary, Barry, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Hacks, The Marvelous Miss Maisel, Only Murders in the Building, Ted Lasso, What We Do in the Shadows.
Woo, let's go, Ted Lasso.
And then limited series, Dope Sick, The Dropout, Inventing Anna, Pam and Tommy, and The White Lotus. And then, yeah, if you want to see the full list, all the list is up on Variety and some other sites. But for me, the biggest things that everyone was talking about were the snubs for some of the Stranger Things actors. None of them got anything, but the show did get nominated for Best Drama Series. But I'll ask real quick, anybody have any thoughts on the Emmy nominations from Tuesday? What were the big stories that you've seen? I'll start with you, Leo. Anything that you noticed from some?
Sure. I definitely think Sadie Sink deserved a nomination. I think episode 4 elevated Stranger Things to a new level where the characters didn't quite have these serious monologues like she delivered in that episode. And I think it was an emotional high that we hadn't quite reached in the show, because it was a point where we finally actually worried for the core group. So I think that she really deserved that because she knocked it out this season. She was fantastic. I loved Millie Bobby Brown as well, but I do think Sadie Sink stole the show in a lot of scenes where she was in. She was just great as Max this season, had so much presence, and you were just so concerned for her throughout the entire season. Sadie Sink seriously deserved a nomination. Somebody else I think got snubbed that I don't think is getting talked about a lot is Jessica Chastain for Scenes from a Marriage, which is kind of weird that Oscar Isaac got nominated, well,
that's
but not
right.
her.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they carried the show together and they bounced off the show together. Mm. It's not the show without one or the other. And I was just kind of a little mystified at the fact that she was not nominated. I thought that was kind of weird. And also... for comedy, I thought it was weird that Atlanta didn't make it. Atlanta, super, super good. But that Yellow Jackets, I'm going to have to check that out, seeing that it got a nomination. And there was a lot of talk about it, a lot of buzz when it first came out. Yeah, but I'm really upset about the Stranger Things. I hope it does win drama. I don't think it has as big of a chance as Severance, which seems to be the new big talk about TV. I got to get on that. But yeah, I don't... I'll be honest, I've only watched Stranger Things and most of Squid Game out of drama, and out of comedy, I've only watched Ted Lasso. So I'm kind of struggling on the TV side of things this year, but very surprising snubs on the end of Sadie Sink and Jessica Chastain. Glad Toni Collette got in there though. But I'm glad it wasn't for that Netflix series that she did. That was
that series was nuts.
Oh, what was that
what
called
a
again?
Weird Pieces of Her. It was like so up and down. What a weird
nuts. Like I thought it was a drama. It turned out being a thriller. Then it went from thriller to like horror. Right. Then it was crazy. I didn't even finish because I was like, I can't do this. But like, all right. So real quick, let's move on. Before we get into our favorite movies, let's go real quick to the Ms. Marvel finale. So I accidentally spoiled the finale for Alex today.
I kind of knew that was happening.
Right? I haven't seen it, and I've not been spoiled, so don't spoil.
I spoiled it by accident. Then I said, hey, we can get this new graphic for Cinemania Live, and he's like, what? I thought all my close friends have seen it. All my close friends have seen it, you know, already. So anyway, the finale was on.
I see it. I'm not a close friend. I get it.
You know what I mean? Anyway, the finale was on Wednesday, and going into it, I was kind of nervous just because I haven't been liking the last few episodes. They started really strong, like episode 1 and 2, like with the family dynamic and the school dynamic for Kamala Khan. I wasn't even like too bothered about the power change from the comics, you know, because I was vibing a lot with the show. But the finale I thought was really solid. It was really good, I guess, because she didn't have as much like threats to go up against like all the other like Marvel series that's been going on, where it's like a messy finale. So the finale was good. Big things happen. I won't spoil anything right now. I thought it was a really, really good finale. I'll go into it with more detail with Hannah on Cinemania Live this weekend. But Leo, what did you think of the finale? No spoilers.
I thought it really stuck its landing because, like you, it lost its footing in episodes 4 and 5, I thought 4 and 5 were such contained stories in the sense that they could have had their own season. Like, this could have been a season 2 problem.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just kind of derailed from what we were on. Like, episode 1 through 3 was very much a coming of age, learning your identity type of show. And I was loving it. I was really enjoying following her and her family and the community and the bond that they all have. And then to break away from that was very jarring in 4 and 5. I thought that it was just, I didn't mind the change in location. I thought that was actually pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But I think the story kind of, it lost its footing. And I think that, in my opinion, the big baddie could have just been the woman who was in the last episode. That mm-hmm. we didn't need to really have the clandestines come in until maybe season 2 or later down the line. I think that was just such a big thing to throw in and then get away from. I just think that was a little bit too much, but 6 really stuck its landing. And honestly, it almost felt like 1, 2, 3, and 6 connected well. And then 4 and 5 just really derailed. So 6 really brought the series back around in a strong way. I'm loving what the future has in store for the MCU after episode 6. Won't spoil, but I really love the future implications it brings into the MCU. Honestly, I think about it, and the more I think about it, I think, ooh, I love me some WandaVision, but I think this might be my favorite finale of all of them. Like, to be honest.
Oh, okay, finale.
Maybe with Loki. Yeah, no, okay. No, not show as a whole.
Still, yeah, I actually would agree. I think Loki is like right up there. I think this is like,
yes, the second. I think this is like neck and neck with, yeah, Loki almost, because, I mean, we all seen Loki finale, right? Can I say what happened?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, Jonathan Majors popping up. I mean, that was just fantastic.
Yeah. Still the best Marvel show.
Yes. Yeah. Well, hold on now. But I really love this finale. And also, the directors are working on Batgirl. They did a great job on Bad Boys for Life. So I'm actually more excited for Batgirl because they worked on episodes 1 and episode 6, the 2 strongest episodes in the series. So I'm very, very excited for what the future holds for this character, mm-hmm, and these directors.
I agree 100%. I'm super excited to see where it goes. I'm excited to see where we go next with the character of Kamala Khan. I think Iman Vellani is a perfect casting for Ms. Marvel, so I'm excited for that. Alyssa, what I will say, listen, you better watch the show before Hall H next week. That's all I'll say. If you think Feige's not gonna talk about this damn finale,
he's gonna spoil everything.
Okay.
Yeah, that's probably
Kevin Feige doesn't give a fuck anymore.
Iman Vellani, by the way, is really good. Like, this is her first major role, and she's great.
Yeah, I've seen the first three episodes, and the first three episodes, she's been really good.
Yeah, she's absolutely phenomenal. I love her as the character. All right, let's go into, we'll get into more Ms. Marvel this week on Cinemania Live. Let's go into our main topic of the show, which is our favorite movies of the year so far. We are at the halfway point, sort of the year when it comes to movies. We've had a lot of big heavy hitters. A lot of disappointments, at least for me, but I do have a lot of movies that are in my list for the favorites of the year so far. So let's go down the list. We're only going to do five. We're not going to do a whole like top 10 or anything like that. We'll save that for the end of the year. But let's go to our five favorite movies of the year. I will start with you, Alyssa. Your number five favorite movie of the year.
Okay. So I don't know if I really have these like specifically ranked necessarily. Sure, like the ranking is very still very fluid here. And I do want to say one little caveat here is it's kind of an honorable mention is The Black Phone for me at least, because it's technically a 2021 movie. I think you guys are probably going to include it on yours, but I'm not just for that. But I did really love The Black Phone, and if it was actually a 2022 movie, I would include it in this. But for me, The Batman is still up there, one of my top ones. That was certainly not a surprise. I think we were all anticipating that for several years now. But it was really good. It kind of lived up to expectations for me. So I really enjoyed The Batman. Everything Everywhere All at Once is way up there for me. Probably between those two, probably kind of, you know, going for the number one spot for me. But that one, you know, you guys, I think know I'm very hit or miss with A24. And luckily that one was a hit for me. And it's still like, it's one that I actually haven't seen it again yet. I only saw it the one time in theaters, but I'm very much looking forward to watching it again because it's kind of never left my brain and I keep thinking about it. And so I can't wait to rewatch that one. This one was a surprise for me. This third one here, Top Gun Maverick.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. Like the original Top Gun has always just been, it's okay. It's not bad. It's just very average, very okay to
me.
And I was very pleasantly surprised with this one. I remember people were, you know, hyping it up before, you know, we barely had a trailer, you know, and like, but it did. I mean, this was very good. And so that was a great, great action movie. It had a lot more character stuff to it, a lot more emotion, certainly, than the first film did. So that one is a surprise for me to be in my top five. Moving on, I really liked Kimmy. So I don't know how many people saw Kimmy. This was like an HBO Max movie.
It's kind Zoe Kravitz.
Yep.
Oh, Kimmy. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I really liked that one. I mean, it's a very short, tight little thriller. It's you know, got some kind of Hitchcockian vibes to it. It's sort of, you know, an updated version of other films we've seen before, but I thought it was very effective and I liked it. And then my number five pick here, again excluding The Black Phone, is The Outfit. That one I had been kind of looking forward to for a while. I had been seeing the trailer since the end of last year. And this one got pushed a few times, but it's a really good one. It's kind of this interesting thriller, sort of period piece thriller, set in Chicago in I can't remember what year now, 30s, 40s. And it's got Mark Rylance, and it's very interesting. Dylan O'Brien, Zoe Deutsch, and it's a nice little, again, thriller. It's definitely more subdued. It's more of a slow burn than some of the other thrillers that we've gotten this year, but I really enjoyed that one.
All right. Let's go to you, Leo.
So are we doing all five, or are we doing just...
We can just do all five. But listen,
okay. Sorry, guys. Let me pull up my letterbox real quick here. So starting with number five, one that I recently just watched. Good Luck to You, Leo Grand.
I just watched that too. Really good.
Great acting. Mm-hmm. A cool message. I really, really enjoyed it. Number four, Cha Cha Real Smooth. Mm-hmm. That was my favorite at Sundance. And oh, man, I just think the message it carries about just responsibility and the weight of that is just a beautiful thing. And I just loved Dakota Johnson in that movie. Number three, just like Alyssa, this one surprised the heck out of me. Top Gun Maverick. Yep. I was very surprised because, like Alyssa, I'm not big on that original. I know it's like a Hallmark film, and it's one of those films that everybody knows and a lot of people love. It's got a big fandom. I'm just not like a big part of that. I watched it again, probably the first time in eons that I watched the original Top Gun before seeing Maverick. And I was just like, dang, this is like more of like a kind of romance drama. Yeah, they're not really weird. The jets, but Top Gun Maverick really took the heart of that first movie and blended it with Mission Impossible style action. And I just thought it was fantastic beginning to end. I mean, the jet fights were amazing. Tom Cruise was at one of his best. That was one of his best, in my opinion. And I love the action. Dynamic, fantastic. I mean, the cinematography itself, just being inside the jets, was so phenomenal. I'm an action junkie, and so I was so happy that was a happy accident and a shock for me. Now, number two, my favorite comic book movie of the year is not a Marvel one, and I'm the Phase 4 shill here on the cast. But my favorite comic book movie of the year was The Batman.
Thank you very much.
I mean, look, I really liked Robert Pattinson a lot as Batman. I loved how much this explored Batman and Gotham and the mythos and lore of Batman. Yes, there wasn't a lot of Bruce Wayne, but I was okay with just being in the cape and the cowl for the whole movie. Really, really enjoyed this film. It's dark, it's brooding, it's a Batman that I feel we haven't dived into deep enough yet. I'm so excited for what's in store for the next movie in that continuity. And number one, oh my gosh, I've seen this movie 5 times now and love it every single time I see it. That is Everything Everywhere All at Once. I loved it. Honestly, I think that this might be one of the most perfect films I've seen in a while. Michelle Yeoh, great per usual. Flopping through the many universes was amazing. Having these like super cuts of just going through all these different animation styles and cinematography and all, like the editing is absolutely on point, and it's just got so much heart at the center of the story that it's just more, it just gets better and better every time. It's warm, it's amazing. Everything Everywhere All at Once might be the first 10 out of 10 movie I've seen in a while from me. Mm-hmm. Loved it, loved every aspect. Honorable mentions go to Scream and X.
Thank you. Were
two very fun horror movies of the year. Really, really liked X, but got bumped out of my top five after Leo Grand. So
nice,
good year.
All right,
you just like it because it's got your name.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe
he's biased.
So far, I'm vibing with everyone's list. Let's see what happens with Alex's. Let's go, buddy. You're five.
For number five, I have this movie that came out on Amazon Prime. Don't know if you guys have seen it. Emergency.
Really, that last year at Sundance, I believe.
Was that at Sundance last year?
I think so. Go ahead.
Though. Yeah. I thought it was funny, but yet it also was able to balance like the humor with like hauntingly disturbing topics at the same time. It really does a good job of presenting a what do I do now situation in ways that we where we have to quickly think without thinking, you know. And it's a great social commentary about racism and police brutality. So if you haven't seen that movie, definitely check it out. My number four. Oh shit. That was supposed to be The Batman. That was too loud. My number four is The Batman. I rewatched this the other day with my mom because I wanted to show it to her. I still think it's a little too long, but everything with Batman, like the investigation, Detective Batman, seeing a different type of Batman that we haven't seen on screen before, Love every single moment of that. The slow burn. I've seen people say it's a slow burn. I disagree. I still think that there's enough going on where you're still engaged with the actual plot and Batman's journey in the movie. So that's why I love the Batman. Number three, right there with you guys, Top Gun Maverick. Surpassed the original in every way possible. So much more emotion, so much more character depth, so much more story, and a lot of story that I wasn't even expecting. Just all around a really, really great action movie that was well made, and I just love the practicality behind Top Gun Maverick. Number two and number one, I go back and forth with. I flip-flop them because they're the two movies that I've given perfect scores to. So two, I think I'm going to go Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. I think that that is an amazing film. It's like looking inside my own head. That's the best way I describe it. But my number one, and I might kill Dwayne here. Because this turned me into a Robert Eggers fan, and that is The Northman.
Oh my gosh, man. That's in my honorable mention. Yeah,
The Northman. The Northman is like, with Everything Everywhere All at Once, it has stuck with me. But like, it stuck with me more than Everything Everywhere All at Once for some reason. Like, it is such a good revenge flick. It is so, it is brutal, it is visceral, it is dirty. I loved every second of The Northman. I killed him.
Dwayne, is it better or worse than The Lighthouse?
Well, I actually
though?
Have
That's
it
your
my,
favorite movie.
I actually have it on my top 10 of the year so far.
Okay.
do like. I actually Dwayne really do like it.
So worse than The Lighthouse, because that was your number one of 2019.
No, The Lighthouse was awful. I don't get it. But like, Robert Eggers, here's the thing, right? Because the stuff. Like, when he's not being a weirdo, like, it's fun, and it's, like, I like it. When he does all the weird, like, oh, the family tree is, like, and they're all fucking, like, and when the woman flies into the sky, when he's not doing all that shit, like, I like his movies.
This
is
it was a good balance
of his style.
You don't like his lobster.
Or about when, like, what's his face? What was Willem Dafoe doing in the beginning of wasn't he like talking to a head or something? It's just shit like that. I'm like, Robert, stop this. I don't like any of that stuff.
But you see, The Northman does a great job of mixing Robert Eggers' style with Norse mythology with like mainstream like action movie filmmaking.
Also, I felt a little bamboozled by the marketing, because the marketing was like, yo, this dude about to be in this like he's gonna have long hair and he's gonna have his shirt off and he's gonna be like ripping heads off, but then he has that ugly ass sweater
for the entire movie. I watch that village raid scene every day just to stay in shape.
I do like the movie though. Like when I got out of the movie, I was like, I saw it in Dolby too. It was a great experience.
Yeah, it rocked in Dolby.
Yes, it did.
It was a great experience, and I do like the movie.
Yeah, we don't have that here.
Yeah, you got cafeterias, right?
We got a
classroom projector style.
It'll look better on your Apple Watch, right?
No, we got to find somewhere. Like when we're in San Diego, I don't know. We got to find a day to bring.
She's got
to
come to Alamo.
We got to go see Nope, man.
Yeah, we got to go see Nope, but we got to bring Alyssa to a theater. She's gonna be flummoxed.
Yeah, she's got to come to Alamo Draft House when it.
Yeah,
opens.
She's gonna be like befuddled. Like, wow, what is that? That's a scream?
Is this a scene? Is that a scene?
You guys do know I'm originally from New York, so like I have been to real movie theaters.
Whatever, man.
It reclines.
You'd be sending pictures.
Hey, we have reclining seats here, man. It's fancy at our one theater.
Good.
Just one, yes. But one of them.
Hard back seats they got.
All right, let me.
The other ones are like wooden benches, but.
Ooh, Jesus, that would blow my back out, man.
Right,
kill me.
Well, hold on.
That's not the right. That's not the right phrase, Alex. It's not the right phrase, Alex.
Right.
All right, let's just move on. Let's just get out of here.
What kind of chairs you sitting on, my man?
Let's just get out of here. Let's just get out of here. Let's wrap this up. I can't. I don't know what's going on.
Come on, I can do this all
day. All right.
All right, Cap.
I'm gonna go into my top five here. I'll do a couple of honorable mentions. I do have X and Leo Grand. I just watched Leo Grand. It's really good. And I have Cha-Cha Real Smooth in my honorables. And I want to give some love to Sonic 2. I thought Sonic 2 was really good. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Good, yeah.
So it's a lot of fun. That.
Turning Red. Maybe. Turning Red as well. So
oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Turning Red.
And I guess, yeah, and I guess, so I guess the Northman.
Yes!
Yeah, there we go.
Slowly turning Dwayne into a Robert Eggers stan.
Not even close. Anyway, number five, I have, like, right in my number five spot, I have The Black Phone. I loved this movie. Saw it a few. I saw it twice in theaters, and I think the sound editing for it is getting criminally underlooked, because it's like it's a really great sound editing, and just like the editing in general in the movie is so well done. The acting and the scares, Ethan Hawke as the Grabber, which is a great name, is fantastic. Number four, I have Top Gun Maverick, because I was not expecting this. This movie came out of nowhere for everyone, I feel like.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's a great film. The visuals are so great. I feel bad. Alyssa watched it on that screen. Oh, I feel so bad. But like,
I was home when I saw it. We saw it in whatever the one that like wraps around. It's got the side screens and everything.
Oh.
Screen X or something. Oh, yeah. It's fancy.
Alyssa had the best like,
I know. This was like, you know, 40 years in the future from main theaters. So,
like. Yeah. Like it's probably one of my favorite IMAX experiences. Like just because like they filmed with IMAX cameras and the entire massive IMAX screen, like just being inside of a cockpit, was just such a crazy experience. And they even put it back in IMAX a few weeks ago because of like the demand to see it in IMAX again. So just a really, really good movie. And you know, it's proven that with audiences because it's made so much money so far. So
yeah.
And then my number three right now, I mean, I gotta have Scream as my number three. Scream was bringing back a franchise that I absolutely adore. It's my favorite horror franchise. A couple of things in the movie don't work for me, but overall, I love, I've grown to love it a lot. I love the opening. I love the themes that they play around with in the movie. And next year's sequel is like shaping up to be crazy as well. So I really, really love Scream. And then number two, if you've heard it already, Everything Everywhere all at Once. Seen it twice so far. The first time I saw it, I was like just at a loss for words because I don't know what just happened and stuff. And
I think that was all of us.
A lot happens in the movie, but like in a good way. It's not like it's like, oh, it's just like a messy movie or anything like that. It's a really, really good film with a great message about like, you know, just parenthood and like relationships and stuff. And you know, just, you know, thoughts of regret, which is something that I struggle with a lot in my life. So I really, really connect to it on a personal level. Great film. And then number one, of course, it's The Batman as number one.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Morbius.
No, not even close. Please. Don't do this.
It's Morbin time, baby.
The Batman I've seen in the movie theater six times.
Jesus Christ.
Not, wow. It's not Endgame. I saw Endgame eight times, so it's not Endgame as far as how many times I've seen it. But I watched it at home three times, and the movie just ages like it ages like fine wine to me. Like I love Batman as a hero. He's my second favorite superhero of all time. The first is obviously Spider-Man. Batman.
Yeah.
I've wanted to see this kind of Batman movie for a really long time. Just Detective Batman, gritty, like really, really gritty. I know we like to think that like The Dark Knight is gritty, but I mean like this movie's like nasty. I don't want to be up in Gotham at all, you know. So like it's a great film. The soundtrack, the sound in the movie as well, as far as like I bought a sound bar for this movie alone, and that was it.
Dude, so I bet it's amazing when he starts revving up that Batmobile.
It's fantastic, and I try to do it at least once a month, like to just hear that. And I love the movie. I haven't like it hasn't been able to move from my number one spot so far. It might be a little bit too cliche, but I love the Batman. So those are my favorite movies of the year so far. I'm looking forward to a lot of things coming up. A lot of things I still want to see. You know, we have Nope coming up. I think next week is when Nope comes out.
Yep.
Supposedly seeing that on Tuesday.
I almost wish it wasn't coming out next week so that we could all say Nope to you just there, but we all said yep.
So we're gonna try it. I would love to try to catch it at San Diego if we have time. I remember the last time we were at San Diego for Comic-Con. Alex and Christina and I, when we like got into San Diego that Thursday, we went to the convention center to like check out the opening night stuff. It was cool. Then we tried to go see The Lion King that night because that was the weekend The Lion King was coming out in 2019.
We did see The Lion King though.
Yeah, yeah, we saw it. And I remember I knocked because I was exhausted. I remember I saw like 20 minutes and I was gone. And I think Christina kept
falling asleep.
I think out of all the people that like fall asleep during movies, I think I was the only one out of the three of us that didn't fall asleep.
Yeah, I was gone. I was like, oh my God, we just should have done this. But I do want to see Nope again.
Except we're gaining hours heading out west.
That's what I'm saying. Oh man, it was crazy. Like just the jet lag. It's just, it doesn't work. Yeah. Okay, so does anyone
interesting
have any-
though that we all the four of us, we shared three of our top five.
Top
Gun.
Do any of you guys have do you guys have any worst movies of the year so far? I have a couple and
I have a whole list.
I got a few.
All right, let me
it's Marvin time.
let me get started right here. I got this one from Netflix, Choose or Die.
Is that number one?
It's something. It's up there. It's terrible. It was Choose or Die on Netflix. It was awful. Then I got Morbius. It was awful. I don't care what Manda says. Secrets of Dumbledore was a little rough. Deep Water
Deep Water was rough.
Anna de Armas was a little
shredding water. Watching
a little
that
tragic. Movie. I got Moonfall up in this list. Like, yeah, Moonfall was rough. Yep. Nobody better say Uncharted because I had fun. All right.
Yeah, it was fun.
I liked Uncharted.
Bottom of the barrel.
Okay. Glad we can all agree on that. Those are my worst right now. It's just like Choose or Die, Morbius.
Yeah.
Oh man. What's the other one I said earlier? Yeah. Yeah. So do you guys have any worst? I'll start with you, Leo. Any worst movies of the year so far?
The absolute bottom of the barrel for me of the year is Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, the big baby.
Yeah. Yep.
Oof, that movie was absolutely
and they want a sequel.
I could barely. I did a reaction for it on my channel, and I was like, "Can I finish this? Can I really finish this? It's an hour and a half. Come on,
which
man."
Which is crazy because it feels like it's like four.
Laborious. Honestly, the worst return of any Scream Queen I've ever seen. Yeah. Terrible.
I forgot about that.
I mean, characters make decisions that make absolutely no sense. I just couldn't do it. Morbius is right after that. For many reasons, I felt like the CGI I was watching, I was like, dang, is this 2005 Fantastic Four? Or what are we doing here? So bad. I got another one here that I'm not sure will be on too many lists, but I love all the actresses in it, but the 355
one. Horrible experience with that movie.
That's my number 10 right now.
I didn't see the 355, right? I didn't go to the movies and watch it. I was just like,
me neither, man.
So what happened was I went to go see Scream, and I was pumped, and the movie starts, and it starts off as like some fucking action, like, and I was like, what the fuck is this? Is how they're starting the Scream movie? And then then some lady came to say, oh, we put in the wrong movie, sorry. And I was like, what the hell?
AMC is not the only mess then.
Yeah, I was like, what movie is this? And then I did some research, and then I asked like Larry, and I said, what movie did you recently watch that starts off with like some people going to get some device? And he's like, oh, 355. I was like, oh, that's the fucking shit that they started off.
And dude, it was so bad as the cast is stacked.
Dude, the editing is nauseating.
So I mean, the cinematography is some of the worst action cinematography of the year. Yeah. I mean, there's literally dialogue scenes where people are talking. There's these dynamic wraparound shots, and it just doesn't work if you're not Michael Bay. So I had to definitely put
it
that
barely works thing. If you are Michael Bay.
Oh, it barely works. Ambulance works because Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh my God, ambulance with those swoop downs over the building? He did it like 70 times.
Was being over the top. I totally, from the jump, knew that movie was going to be over the top.
Ambulance is Michael Bay's best movie in years. Just saying it right now.
I still haven't seen it. I don't
can't disagree like with you there. Deep Water definitely rounds out the bottom four. Deep Water was awful. I mean, I was like, this is phoned in to the max. Nobody here gives a crap about the content.
Nope.
Ben is half asleep for most of the scenes. Anna don't give a damn. It was so bad. Good, and though. Then okay. I gotta update this list because I don't think this will be in my bottom five, but I have Death on the Nile.
What?
I gotta update that.
Oh, I forgot about Death on the Nile. Murphy was the best of
origin story for a mustache.
Origin story I didn't need. Anyway, but that's my bottom five.
As they say in Euphoria, bitch, you better be joking.
Oh my goodness.
I joking at all. Oh, hell.
Alex, what the fuck? Okay, Alex, what did you already say your list, Alex? No, you didn't.
No, I didn't. I got some honorable mentions. Sure. The bubble, the 355, the bubble. That Judd Apatow movie.
Oh man, I skipped that as soon as I seen the.
I watched an hour of it, and I was like, I can't take the next hour. Blacklight with Liam Neeson. I thought that was trash.
That was ass.
Yeah, another deep, one I skipped up. Deepwater, not a fan of. Jurassic World Dominion, worst Jurassic Park movie. Sorry, guys.
Okay, you know what? That goes in my bottom five too.
Yeah. Ice Age Adventures of Buck Wild, Moonfall.
What?
Yeah.
Y'all just be watching anything, man.
Yeah. And, right. now we'll get into my actual top five. Number five is Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Really terrible. Hated it. Every second of it. Never saw a Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie in my life, and that's how I'm introduced to the franchise. Get out of here. Number four, The Royal Treatment with what's his name that played Aladdin?
I hated
that movie. It was sad. Number three, recently just came out on Netflix, The Man from Toronto. Rough. Oh, terrible action sequences. They literally use a gimmicky one take to try and like cover up the bad cinematography, and then it's just so sanitized. Like, you could tell it was filmed to be rated R and edited down to PG-13 in post. Number two, Choose or Die, and it's not number one because my number one is Morbius. Sorry, Amanda. Morbius is number one because of all that money they wasted. So
Morbius,
Morbius. That's what I call it. So.
This Sony universe, just pack it up, man. Just
pack it up. And they're taking all these great actors and actresses. Like, we got Dakota Johnson in a damn
Sydney Sweeney.
And they got the nerve to like film in Boston with that bullshit, man. They're
gonna be like, Boston's doubling for New York City.
And it takes place in the 2000s. I was like, okay.
No.
Isn't
it the same writers as Morbius too?
I have no
Baby
idea.
Fat.
I have no idea, Alex. Let's go to Alyssa. Do you have any horrible movies of the year for you?
Yeah, I mean, got some that weren't like... I only have a couple that I really, really disliked. Other ones that were subpar for me, you know, Dwayne already mentioned Secrets of Dumbledore. That one was kind of...
Damage Control for Crimes of Grindelwald. That's all it was.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it was definitely better than that one, at least. It was still disappointing. Studio 666 was a little underwhelming for me.
I didn't see it.
I'm a big Foo Fighters fan, and it just, I don't know, it had its moments, but it was very, I don't know, a little, it's hard to describe. It was a little over the top, a little stupid, but like not in a fun way necessarily. And so that one was kind of underwhelming. Memory was pretty bad. Liam Neeson. Yeah. Sorry, the other Liam Neeson one this year. It had an okay concept, but the execution of it was not particularly good.
I'm with you there.
Firestarter.
Oh, that's on my list.
Skipped it.
Oh man,
I forgot that even came out.
That I did like it a little bit more than the original, but I'm not a fan of the original.
Yeah, I heard the original was like bad too.
It's rough, but it does have its fans for sure. But and like I'm a Stephen King person, you know. Right. I mean, I literally live in Maine. I went to the Thursday night premiere of this. I was literally the only person in the theater. Not a single other, and I'm in Bangor. Like, this is literally where Stephen King lives. this would be the movie theater he would go to. And there wasn't besides me.
Alyssa was that movie's entire box office.
So that was rough. And then Alex mentioned it, Man from Toronto. That was not good. That one, it again, one that kind of had potential. I mean, it's a story we've seen before, but if I wish Jason Statham had stayed associated with it, I don't blame him for jumping ship, but if he had been in it instead of Woody Harrelson, I think it would have been better. I think there would have been much better chemistry between him and Kevin Hart. And Statham does that kind of comedy stuff good. Like he's I enjoy his character in like the Fast and Furious franchise. It's stupid, but it's entertaining.
Yeah, I agree.
So I could have seen him doing something along those lines for that movie, and it could have been fun. But it just it wasn't. It wasn't very funny, and it was just tedious and kind of convoluted. And then last on my list here, it's Morbin time, right?
Yeah.
It's Morbius. Holy, it was just
Morbi ass.
Just rough, man. Just very rough.
I guys, I gotta tell y'all, I got to scrolling on Twitter late last night, and I seen some Morbius is better than Batman.
Almost
put my head in my hands and started crying.
I'm gonna delete Twitter right now.
Like deactivate those accounts.
There's like people who actively try to defend this like this Morbius movie, and I'm just, why, you know? The only thing that I got from that Morbius movie that I'll like cherish is that damn have sex, that damn song scene where the guy's like dancing and jiving.
The funniest part of the movie is when they reuse the score from The Dark Knight.
I can't believe that even happened. Like, how do you do that as like a I expect like some student film to do that, but
like isn't that like a copyright like infringement?
They should
since it's like different studios, you know.
I don't know.
Like that's how bad Morbius is.
I mean, WB was like, it ain't gonna make no money anymore.
Nobody's gonna notice. Just throw it in there.
Yeah, it's really really rough. All right, everyone, that's it for our show today here, episode 109 of the Simming the World Show. Appreciate you guys all for listening. Appreciate all of you for joining me today. I'll go around the call, get everyone's social medias. I'll start with you, Alex. Let everyone know where they can follow
you. You can find me on my official website, alexmaddenmovies.mystrikinglight.com. All my social media links are there, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's all there for you guys to check out. And also the podcast, this podcast is there as well. So.
All right. And Leo.
You guys can go ahead and follow me on YouTube over at Geekly Goods. Just search in Geekly Goods on the search bar. You'll see two G's, a red one and a gray. Come on over, guys, and let's talk some geek. We got a lot coming up, but not too much because SDCC is right around the corner. So I will have a review for Where the Crawdads Sing coming up either tomorrow or Monday, probably a little bit later Monday to do more of a book and movie comparison. And then also I will have another reaction for Avatar The Last Airbender as I'm revisiting the series. And I will have a reaction for Jujutsu Kaisen Zero, the new anime movie that is a prequel to the series, up on the channel next week as well. Guys, there will be all kinds of SDCC content on that channel and on my TikTok. You can follow me at Leo Rydell GG across all other social media platforms, and we'll see you there.
All right. And lastly, Alyssa.
Yeah, you can find me at Mainly Movies on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, all of the social medias, Facebook as well. And I've got a couple videos kind of coming up. Got a Thor ranking coming tomorrow, which may be in the past at the point when this is uploaded. I don't know. as well as some Jordan Peele content coming up. But then obviously the San Diego Comic-Con stuff. So that'll be headed your way come next week. Week from today of recording, at least, is when we're going to be out there. So lots of content coming.
I'm super nervous for next week. Just hope everything goes well. And I hate flying, you know, it sucks. Like, why?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just teleport my ass or something. Anyway. All right, everyone. You can follow me on Twitter at Cinemaniac94. And you can follow the podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Cinemania World. And then for us, we should have Cinemania Live sometime this weekend with Hannah and I to discuss Ms. Marvel in full and some other things. Sunday should be the box office show. The next week is going to be a interesting week because we'll have our Nope review for next week, and then we'll have a bunch of content for San Diego Comic-Con. So that is it, everyone. Thank you guys for joining us. My name is Dwayne. That was Alex, Leo, and Alyssa. We'll talk to you guys soon.